Welcome to the Humans Union Madison Monthly Meeting. Our speaker today is Doug Rank, and he's here to tell us about the Forward Marching Band, an activist street band based out of Madison. He's been a member since October 2013, and he was invited to join by Janet Parker, former director of the Gene and Linda Farley Center for Peace, Justice, and Sustainability. Reuniting him with his trombone and passion for performing after a break of more than 30 years. The Forward Marching Band provides musical support to a long list of social causes, from worker and immigrant rights to veterans for peace and LGBTQ causes. Welcome, Doug.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful day. It's a crime not to be outside, so I'm going to get through this quickly and tell you a little bit about why I'm here, why I joined the Forward Marching Band, what we do, what we stand for, and a little bit about the history. I'll admit I was not one of the founding members. I came in about 2 years after the organization started. As Bob mentioned, Janet Parker, very active in a lot of functions around the county. She was my neighbor, invited me to play, and she said, we needed trombone players, we're getting ready to go to Boston to play, and I hadn't picked up the horn in 30 years. I thought, oh gosh, this is not going to go too well. It really took me about a year to get into the swing of things, but Janet said, we're radical. You know, she said, almost as if there was a litmus test for me to be a member of the group. But anyway, there is that element to it, and I think Forward Marching Band is part of the radical free in the Dane County. We talk about the Raging Grannies and the Solidarity Singers and Forward Marching Band. There's a lot of crossover between these three groups and different origins, but we find each other at a lot of the same events. So I'll jump right into it. This has been a good exercise for me, learning the history of this, because I actually interviewed the founders, and I'm going to do the best I can to tell you what inspired them to start this group. I don't know how many people know Ted and Lori. It's Lori Rosbach and Ted McManus. Activists, artists, musicians, both of them in the area. Lori is currently the art director at the Madison Children's Museum, and she's just insanely creative. And her mother was a music conductor, director, performer. She was steeped in this from birth. She's a natural at pretty much everything she picks up to play. She told me that she's a string musician, and I never knew that because I know her as a keyboard musician. But she's the glue that brought this together. It was her vision. She started playing music. They grew up in New Orleans, and her husband Ted was involved with the Madtown Liberty Theater. I guess a small theater group that was kind of intrigued by the work done by the Bread and Puppet organization. I don't know if you know that. Out of the 60s, some of the street theater and political play that was done, and you'll see there, I mean, they actually give out bread and give the, it's kind of a play on words, but they will go through a lot of scenes, and I recommend you check them out. They've, after the 60s, with all the political uprising and everything at that time, they kind of sequestered up into the hills of Vermont after that, but that's has a European history to some of their theater, and they're still alive and active today, and they were part of the Bread and Puppet Circus was part of the Honk Fest, and you're going to hear me talk about honk throughout this little presentation, because honk is it's what cars and geese do, and you know, but it's also what these activist bands do, and so I'll get into that a little more later. But Bread and Puppet had performed at the second Honk Fest, which I think the first one was in 2006, and so we're into the 13th year of Honk Fest, which is in Boston, a little suburb called Somerville, where Tufts University is. But so we do go to Boston annually to participate in this, and it's invitation only, but we happen to be fortunate enough to get reinvited. There's no guarantee, but since I've been part of the group, we've gone there. And so I have been to Boston Commons and marched up to Beacon Hill, and we all know, you know, I paid my did my pilgrimage there as a UU. But anyway, forming the band was Lori's idea, and she wanted to play in a band like this, like a honk band, which is an activist street band by definition. And there was nothing like this in Madison, and they thought it could work into the theater group. But this was in January of 2011, right after the Christmas break and the Super Bowl, and we know what was going on politically behind the scenes here in Wisconsin during the Super Bowl. Never knew that it was going to evolve so quickly. So as of February of 2011, they were actually hitting the street for the first time. So Lori knew some people with Yid Vicious, if you know that group. They're a klezmer band that's been around for 20 years. So the first iteration of the Forward Marching Band was just some friends of hers, who's one friend, her husband played trumpet, and he's one of the founding members. He's still with us today. We call him Norm, and he's the fella up here, second from the left. But he's a good chant leader and is really one of the strong musical forces behind our group. Picture's worth a thousand words, but a video's worth a million. So I'm going to kind of show you in a nutshell here with this video where our humble beginnings were back in February 2011. How many of you recognize these scenes? This was very cold, marching slowly, counterclockwise, four blocks around the Capitol. There's Dave Spees from Yid Vicious. A lot of cowbell back then. So, this machine kills union busters. That's, I like that. So,
some legible, some less so. I'm sure everyone who had a sign and was holding it was very sincere.
Very sincere. So, you kind of get the idea. It's raw. It's keeping people moving. It's lifting their spirits. It's very cold. There's still a lot of snow on the ground back then. And here you can hear the Balkan klezmer influence. No, that's a Yid Vicious standard right there. So you kind of get the idea there. But that's where that was our humble beginnings, and the band has evolved quite a bit since then. I've got to say they've moved into practice space. At that time, they were actually advertising in the Isthmus magazine for anyone who wanted to play. They picked up some people as they were marching around the street. There was a lot of people banging pots, making noise. It was raucous, but that was kind of the spirit of the time. And but there was no structure, no order. It was an open, completely open group. Leaderless, you might say, a lot like the Occupy movement in that respect. So, but what came out of that was they were able to keep people moving, as I mentioned. It was cold, but it was very effective, and it was a perfect storm of the political climate at the time, people wanting to get their voices heard, get out there, and make this sound. But they You know, music is kind of the hook. You hear them playing Saints Go Marching In, or a lot of Union fight songs back then. Union Made, Solidary Forever, Power in the Union, all of those things. And they became staples. And but as the band evolved, there were some people who couldn't stomach how raucous it was. There was kind of a rift there that was kind of hard to bridge between some of the more polished musicians and some of those who wanted to really be active. And and some of them went in other directions. They played a few polkas back then. Some of the people went off and formed their own polka band. So it went through some evolution, and I joined the band in 2013, right about the time when they were starting to almost audition people, where, okay, we're going to polish up our act, we're going to be a little more entertainment focused, as well as getting the message across. But we found that to be very effective, because people, you know, they hear the noise, they come up, and they move, they think we're, some of them think that we're part of the UW alumni band or something, you know. It's, no, we don't know each other except through this group, but we've all grown very close, and have played since then over 300 events, 304 to be exact. I counted up this list here. But there again, Lori was kind of the glue holding it together. And there was another young man who was a music director student at UW, and he ended up moving to Chicago. But because he was able to give workshops and sectional rehearsals, and Lori's mom would be up here in the summertime for New Orleans. Lyndall is her name, and she would guest conduct and do some of the arrangements. And it turned out that Norm, the fellow in the center there playing trumpet, was actually a music arranger. So, a music arranger. Yeah, yeah. He's. So our roles and functions here are pretty varied, but as I mentioned, we're providing chance support. We want to keep the morale high, but it's important, as I mentioned, there to diffuse tension between sometimes between police and protesters. And when we kicked off the Women's March, I don't know how many of you were there. I don't think anybody expected 100,000 people to show up. And people were lined up along the streets for blocks, and the organizers were like, we don't know where to start, how to do this. And the band, they said, okay, you're going to start playing, you're going to march up through the middle, we're going to part the seas in front of you. And that's what they did. Two or three people parted the seas. We had some dangerous trombones in the front with weapons of destruction, and went through, and we got to the front, and then everybody followed, and we got up to the head of the parade, and kind of parked ourselves at a place toward the Capitol, and played as everybody marched by. And that was about 3 hours of marching. This is a photo I thought you could appreciate. This was on the Monona Terrace. This was the Freedom from Religion nationwide congress last summer, if you were there. So this was a paid gig for entertainment. It was a cause that no one objected to. We don't endorse when it comes to faith organizations or non-faith organizations, we don't take a stance on that. No one had any objection to this, and you know, we kind of share a kindred spirit in the struggle for justice with some of the causes that the free thinkers and freedom from religion and separation of church and state fit fine with our causes there. There are some, this is just a smattering, different organizations we've played with. Vets for Peace, we do a parade with them every 4th of July in Milton. And that's the Vets for Peace on the left, and we're on the right. So you'll see us in the St. Paddy's Day parade with them. But we're marching for peace is a big part of what we do down the left. It's a pride parade in 2016. And we actually played at Summerfest in Milwaukee. So we thought we made the big time when we got into that,
yeah,
that group there. But we played in our element at the street. It was more like a busking event. Wasn't on a stage. They took us to a stage and said, this isn't what we do. And brought us down to a place on the street where people could walk by and dance and move and get engaged. This is a parade at the Willie Fair, so you can see us in your backyard, in your neighborhood. We also play the Monroe Street Parade. But these are some active links here I want to describe. So as I mentioned, diffusing or defusing tension between protesters and police, this is a very powerful role that we can play. For the group that I'm going to show here, this is Rude Mechanical Orchestra. They are a band that we share a lot of music. We actually do this tune that they're doing here. But this is during Occupy Wall Street in Bryant Park. They were RMO, we call them for short. They were there through the whole Occupy movement in Zuccotti Park. And no one knows better than them what oppression and what sort of what they were up against with the police and coming through and kind of sweeping them away one day. This next video also shows what we did here. This was the March for Our Lives just this year against gun control. So they're getting ready to kick off the parade here. So there again, you get the idea. Yeah. That's a lot of what we do. You'll hear some of the same chants from the Wisconsin Uprising, modified for the purpose of this event. So
one of the songs you played when you got to the Capitol was "We Want New Gun Laws." Is that a new song that you, the band, created?
That was kind of a version of a Rebirth song, "We've Got That Fire." And it's just a crowd pleaser, very engaging. "We've got that fire, got that fire." But we turn, "We want new gun laws, we want new gun laws." And the back and forth, the exchange, that worked. It clicked. And there was at least 5, maybe 10,000. Some people say maybe 15,000. I've got an image of that at the end of the slideshow here. And
"We got the new gun laws, yeah. Have you got the new gun laws?"
They did. They actually had some success in Florida, where the most recent incident happened, and they just a step in the right direction. And there was a short window of time before the end of the spring session, and they were able to make a step in the right direction, I think. But I think you're seeing more of the corporate sphere playing a role in some of that change, more than where politicians have been kind of quiet, except for Florida. But it was driven by the students that were affected the most. I want to talk a little bit about an event that I brought up earlier called Honk. And Honk was started in, like I say, in Boston, Somerville. Every year we meet. This is a picture of us playing in Davis Square, right? That's kind of the main stage in the middle there. It was a lot of fun. It's all honk bands have a certain musical orchestration, instrumentation that's very similar, but the styles can really vary. I'm going to read a little bit real quickly from the website from the honk organizers, and it says throughout the globe and across the country, a new type of street band movement is emerging: outrageous and inclusive, brass and brash, percussive and persuasive, reclaiming public space with a sound that is in your face and out of this world. These bands draw inspiration from sources as diverse as klezmer, Balkan, Romania music, Brazilian samba, Afrobeat, highlife, punk, funk, hip-hop, as well as New Orleans second-line tradition, and they deliver it all with the passion and spirit of Mardi Gras and Festival. So that's where we're coming from. They may be different in some of their missions. Some are there's many different structures. Some are purely entertainment. There's some bands that are they're just strictly party bands. They play at bars. They very talented, young, but some have a very seriously strong social justice mission. And Forward is unique. That come from this progressive mecca where so many movements have started here in Wisconsin, so they recognize us for that. So at this Honk Fest, there's at least 20 bands, like I said, from across the country. We do occupy public space. We play on the streets. I think they finally just started closing off the street this past year, but they wanted traffic to go through. They didn't want to stop the flow in this public space. It's 3 days. It's always on Columbus Day weekend in October, and it ends with a parade going from Somerville 2 miles down to Harvard Square. So we play right there at in Cambridge.
So go over to Mass Ave and then down?
Yeah. They close off the streets, and it's a full spectacle. There's stilt walkers and all different types of performers and floats, and you know, troops on bikes and just different, and of course all the honk bands and stuff that are there. So that's when they get to Harvard Square, you get your 5 minutes of fame to get on the main stage and play in front of what seems like a sea of people. They combined it with an Oktoberfest going on at the same time, so there's a lot of vending and booths, and it was a good fit. We provided a lot of entertainment for that.
When did they start doing that?
2006, I think, was the first one. Yeah. So this link here is 1 minute long, and it really tells the story. This is New Creations Brass Band from New Orleans. They're purely professional. Thomas de Ferro out of Brazil, Portuguese group, all female brass band. This is a local band. There's about 4 or 5 honk bands in the Boston area. Dirty Water Brass Band. Another all-female band, Yes Ma'am, is the name of the group. And they're out of Austin, Texas. And who are these guys? So, come a long way from banging pots and pans, you know. And that's where we wanted to go with that. So
all these bands are active as bands all over the world?
They are.
Cool.
band made other field trips besides to Somerville?
They went to Honk, Texas one year, and that's in Austin. Kind of around the same town, same time of year as the South by Southwest. I think it's kind of that season of the year. It was part of a band. They just loaded up a van and went down there, and you know, mixed results. It's another one that's by invitation only, and we've thought about going back there again. We actually played in Detroit at a governor's rally when Rick Snyder was being scrutinized over there. So that's probably some of the farther trips we've taken. Usually just right around Wisconsin. We'll play at the Baraboo Big Top Parade, or I can mention Milton, Summerfest, things like that. But, these pictures kind of tell it all. You know, it's fall, it's a beautiful time of the year to get out there. It's festive and joyous. But they set aside a day of action at Honk, and sometimes it's early, pre-honk, sometimes it's after the sessions in the night, but there's a lot of activism that goes on there. And for me, this is one of the main reasons that we exist. And to come together with other groups, and we share a lot of each other's repertoire, so when we get together and play, there's some synergy with all of that coming together. We can get out there and pull together something pretty quickly. So this image up in the upper left-hand corner was, let me go back, this image here, I thought that was a hyperlink, but that is where we were.
Do we have anything going on at the parade?
Yeah,
no, we just have them do the whole thing.
Yeah, we've done Make Music Mass, I think, every year since it's been there. It coincides with the solstice, so I think the first 2 years we played at Olbrich Park before the big bonfire there, and they had a procession of the species, if you remember that. And that was a lot of the puppets that Lori and Ted had made at the through some of their puppet theater. So everyone would dress up as some different species, and of course Charles Darwin kind of led it. And they've retired that act and put that away. In the last couple of years we've played, I don't know. I don't think so.
You know, musically, the band has just soared over the years compared to the beginning.
Yeah, well,
in terms of quality, just general quality of music, is really.
And when people ask about joining, we say it's a commitment. We practice every Monday night, and have for 7 years. And I can't think of anything else I'd rather do on a Monday night but to get together with my friends and play. It's just, I'm so happy to be part of this group.
How many performers do you have involved with the band at this kind of time?
We've got 25 to 30 regulars. So when we send that many to Boston, it's a big deal. So we do some fundraising for that. But if I could get this to load up, this is one of the, I'm just going to show it here. This is one of the actions at the Honk. It was Honk for 15. It actually went into different department stores and got chased out by security and things like that. But there's other organizers that are putting these events together, and they bring the bands on for support, particularly this one. But,
I agree, most of the Fight for 15 aren't earning very much money.
No. So this one up in the upper left-hand corner, I mentioned that is a pipeline protest in West Roxbury outside of Boston. And they have a large natural gas pipeline going through a street. I think it's a main trunk line going through it. distribution-wide still, I believe, but it's within 100 feet of where they're blasting for a quarry. It passes right along this rock quarry, and it doesn't make sense to... So we met outside of that place. Now, twice when I've been there, they have met at this ICE detention center. It's actually at a corrections facility. Mm. And this was probably one of the most heart-wrenching experiences. We bust over to the other side of town. This particular detention center is right along the exit ramp from a freeway going through town there. So we could march up where the exit ramp would kind of elevate. We could play out to the people that were basically preparing to be deported. Yeah. And they're behind bars, treated like criminals, and all they want is a fair shake. They just want a job. They want what you and I have. And there was some organizers with this group that had relatives that were in there. And you can see their shadows through the window. They're dancing, they're moving, they're doing what they can to communicate and show their gratitude. They're flicking the lights on and off. But this is what our politics is doing. It's affecting real people's lives. I mean, and we can't be quiet. We can't just sit idle and let this happen without bringing attention to it. And are we changing policy? Are we not? I don't know, but it's a good indicator of where everyone is if they see that, okay, this is an issue that people care about. Let it be heard. And it's not a time to be quiet right now, especially when people are dying. So this one young lady was reaching out to her either father or grandfather on a megaphone, telling him that she loved him, and she hopes she sees him again, but she knows when he goes back to his country, it's a death sentence because he's on some medical support that he won't get when he goes back, and it may be her last chance to communicate with him. And that was a tough time. So no borders, no nations, stop the deportations. So that happened. Anyway, that was an important time. So the folks you saw dancing with the green hair, they're part of Rude Mechanical Orchestra out of New York City. Green is their thing. And they definitely pushed the envelope. While a lot of us got back on the bus and went back there, they're prepared to be arrested. They have a support system and a network between them. So we went back, they jumped fences and went in. So you hope you see them the next day. Usually they get a slap on the wrist and escort it out, but you know they're
at the School of the Americas march, you go to jail.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what consequences there were at this event, but I knew enough to I'm not prepared for that at this point in my life, but some are. So this, I don't know if you recognize this image, but this is us supporting the Women's March, and it was a remarkably warm day in January. It's not communicating with that. This is a collection of videos that people sent to us and we compiled into this collection. So it's kind of says it all. This is where we've evolved. A big pink hat on Lady Liberty there. And if you remember that same puppet from the very first march going around the Capitol. This is where we parted the seas and got out to the front, and then everybody marched in behind us. There was no way. Yeah. That's a security camera with a 360 view. It's kind of funny. Someone just banging out there, Joe. Are you trying to get the idea there? That's 40. Oh, 10 minutes. 10 minutes of good stuff. So, where we lacked a lot of polish in the beginning, we were ready for this next wave. And the causes to fight for and to play for just don't seem to end. I think there's always going to be a need and a function that Forward can provide.
Busier than ever now?
Yeah, we are. We're having to really look at the type of organization that's calling. I don't vet these calls. Some of them don't even get to vote. We do have a meeting in the middle of every rehearsal and talk about potential things. We post it, gauge the level of interest from the members, and see if we can get a quorum to actually pull a group together. And then, we did 50 or 60 gigs last year, and we probably got invited to 100. I don't know. It's just some of them. Kind of get a feel for how organized are the organizers. Are we playing for a wedding or somebody's pool party, or are we, or is this something that suits our mission? So that kind of brings me to kind of a wrap up here. Something else that sprung out of the Honk movement is the School of Honk, and this is really preparing people. Kids who want an improv experience, something they might not be getting as a compliment to the school music program, or maybe a supplement, or maybe there is no school music program, or maybe a formal classroom setting doesn't do it for a student. They want to get out and play with adults. This is open to all ages, but this image shows a youngster there. They have to wear polka dots. That's But they do, that's another thing, they rehearse every Sunday, and they'll do a parade after every rehearsal. And I'm pretty sure it's year-round, as I understand.
Madison?
This is in Boston.
Oh, in Boston.
In Somerville. So there's some discussion, can we, is there an appetite for this here in Madison? We've talked about it. I think it'd be great, especially when you think about the future, and today's lesson next door was kind of hit home to me as far as, what are we turning our lives over to? We're handing the torch to the next generation. And if kids grow up with it, if their parents were active, they're going to be active. But this School Honk, all the music is open source. Check it out online, because I think that's the future.
I don't know, looks like in Madison, kids have to pay to be in the band.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't part of the school
no.
budget. And so, of course, you're only going to get the upper-class kids.
See, that's unfortunate, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's like that in Madison.
I would hope not.
But I just wrote it, because they were starting to do that when I started on the board 18 years ago.
Wow.
And you can't give up your reading program, your math program, so your budget's constrained.
Yeah. Well, the schools are strapped for funds, and things get
that's
cut
the
back.
That's a good loan to march in the army.
Yeah.
So the kids don't even think of it. They think that the kids are the upper class. Or should they play?
What?
Really?
But in some of your pictures, there was a guy all in white who seems to be an athlete. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Tom Tagan. Yeah,
he does, a handstand on the middle of State Street sometimes.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a while. We keep him on the list, and he's welcome to join. He's a busy guy. He's always reinventing himself, and he's a lifeguard and a first responder and different things. He's a very busy guy, and we'd love to have him. Tom, super guy. He's one of the originals. This last image I want to leave with you, because this was recently at the March for Our Lives, where you will see at least 10,000 people. That's going blocks all the way downhill. This is the view I have when I'm playing in front of these people, and it's what I see across there are a lot of young faces and a lot of parents bringing their kids there, and that's making an impression on them, and it's about them. And parents, maybe some of the parents feel that they haven't done as good a job in protecting the kids, and a lot of signs say that the kids are carrying, you failed us, it's our turn. And, you know, more power to them. I hope they have what it takes to keep going and fight the status quo, and because these issues aren't going away until there's I don't say a revolution, but there needs to be a groundswell of interest for the common good. Yeah. So that's
if a march organizer wants to invite the band, who do they contact?
info@forwardband.org will get through to us. And Ted, who's I mentioned earlier, one of the organizers, he gets those emails and he filters everything really before it comes up in conversation. People in the group are involved in so many, their fingers and go out like tentacles through the community. And that's how we got involved at the Vilas Zoo, the rendezvous at the zoo. And Orrin Schrader saw us there, invited us to play the Monroe Street Fair, and just one thing after another. We have a gal who plays baritone, very charismatic, kind of a marching baritone, and she's a powerhouse. And her husband is a former director of drum and bugle corps, so he knows all these parade organizers. He's one that helped get the gig over Summerfest for us. He's brought so much visibility to us. But probably the main thing that we do is the Dane County Farmers Market, because people are coming to us there. And it's very famous farmers market. People come from all around and they want to get their goodies there at the farmers market, but they take home a little bit of our culture with them. And we ask them to share the videos, put it out there. And
do you play every Saturday at the farmers
market? No, it's kind of random.
Yes.
I think yeah, I don't know if we post a calendar of our events, if we keep it updated like we should. But
well, like the grannies do every other Saturday at the farmers market, and it's like when you're asked to play for the grannies, you know, generally you're singing to the choir, but in the farmers market, you're singing to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. not an invited.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and they'll hear show tunes by the grannies, and that gets their attention. Okay, I know that song from, you know, My Fair Lady or whatever. You know, and the words are a little different. It's kind of the same way with Forward Band. They'll hear when the Saints go marching in, they get a little closer. And they're saying, "Oh, when we make peace instead of war."
Yeah. Exactly.
When we make peace instead of war, or. The Battle Hymn of the Republic is Solidarity Forever. And when you get a little closer, you hear the words. It's really, like I said, it's that's what it is. It's the hook. They recognize that. Sometimes they'll be dancing and moving and having a good time, and then they'll hear some lyrics that don't sit quite right with them, and they'll kind of gather up their kids and go and think, okay, well, that's fine too. But we get a lot of positive feedback. you know, because.
And it's such a positive way to be an activist. You know, it's a very sort of, even though you.
It's very upbeat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But even though it can be confrontational, it does it in such a positive way that it isn't. I mean, it's almost anti-cut. You know, you get your message across, but in a very, very positive, very accept. People will listen where they wouldn't if you were just talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they because you've got a more common medium that helps people open.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun. That should be right at the top of our list. Get people moving and dancing and having fun. Like Emma Goldman says, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution or something to that effect. But that's really, really it. It's people see you moving, they say, oh, I want what they've got. What are they? You know, we got that fire, you know?
Yes.
That's what it is.
Music.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, well, thanks for having me here.
Thanks very much for doing the program.
It's terrific. Now you're going to have to write an article. You got all this research done?
Well, the band thought it'd be good to have an oral history somewhere.